everyone. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
It is the Valentine's era coming up for February's episode. So in this episode, we're covering off two movies based on William Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, 1999's 10 Things I Hate About You, and 2003's Delivering Us from Eva.
Deliver Us from Eva. You got closer that time.
Yeah, because when we tried this before, I said Surviving Eva like twice.
So these are both modern adaptations, like modern at the time. over 20 years old now. Adaptations of The Taming of the Shrew. Where do you want to start with these?
I think the tone difference of these movies is very different. You've got one that is it's kind of a dead genre now because it doesn't seem to be like the big blockbuster hits of like the high school, American high school sort of genre of being like everybody's super weird and it's prom and, you know, all that garbage that goes along with that genre of movie.
Like Carrie that we did last time.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get a very different tone of like an actual family and family dynamics in the 2003 version, which, you know, comes across with a very strong African-American cast. But at the same time, I just don't feel like it was necessary. And I go back to Death at a Funeral, which was, they had the weird Americanization, which had a very, very, very strong African-American cast, except for, I can't remember.
James Morrison.
I was going to say...
Alan Tudyk?
No, that's the other one.
Yeah, I know.
No, I was going to say Tyrion Lannister.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, who started both of them. Why can I not remember his name? It's very different. Like, you get that very American high school angsty, like, overtone, and then you get a very suave African-American thing, and the only weird part about it was, LL Cool J starring in it. I don't think he was... Was he popular at the time?
I don't know. Was LL Cool J ever popular?
I don't know. I've seen him in very few movies where he's actually taken the lead. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I don't understand. I feel like they could have made a different movie.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no reason to make a second modern adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew within 5 years of 10 Things I Hate About You, which was a very... popular, like, it's considered like a rom-com classic. And it is a really enjoyable, like, to this day it's a really enjoyable movie. I don't think Deliver Us from Eva was as enjoyable. Like, I don't think I'll watch that again, whereas I probably will watch 10 Things I Hate About You again. I don't know if you'll watch either again because you're not as much of a rom-com person. But yeah, I feel like they could have just gone with a totally different story. They also, like, they didn't... It's, like, very loosely based on Taming of the Shrew, I feel like, the Deliver Us from Eva.
Yeah.
So they could have just, like, done a different story and not based it on that, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of potential, I think, in that movie to be something outstanding and, you know, because you're talking about family and you're talking, like, because in that... adaptation, you know, just talking about four sisters, they lost their parents, they have like a conjoined inheritance account, they live in the house together, and it is basically three young men trying to separate the family to, like, and I just found it very confusing.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, at the beginning I was like, oh, the sisters all have like kind of annoying partners.
Yeah.
And by the end you're like, these are horrible people.
Yeah.
And they should not stay with them, but then they all do. And that baffles me.
So the whole premise is that for both these movies is they want to spend time with these women who have antisocial sisters or difficult sister, and they pay some other person to try and run interference. And that's how you get LL Cool J's character involved, who's like this player, you know, he's real smart, he talks up, you know, he ends up on a date with some lady when they bump into him, and he, like, somebody else he's dating comes along, and he's just like, you know, ladies, don't be mad at me, don't be mad at each other, be mad at me, you know, I'm the ones, you know, like, you know, that steps out, and they're like, oh, we should pay this guy $5,000 to, like psychologically torture the sister that psychologically tortures us.
Yeah, that is, by the way, the psychological torture element of it is closer to the Shakespeare. Because in the actual Taming of the Shrew, the guy that they get to, it's that the younger sister can't get married until the older sister is married.
Yeah.
And the guy they get to marry her then, like, tortures her till she is, like, basically an obedient slave.
Yeah.
And then he wins, like, a prize for having the most obedient wife. It's really fucked up.
Yeah. And it's 1500s comedy for you folks.
So I'm glad that that's not how either of these go. But, yeah, I feel like 10 Things I Hate About You is generally closer to the Shakespeare than Deliver Us from Eva, but in that aspect, the kind of manipulation.
It's side also of a lot more rounded of a movie. You get a little bit more character development with even the background characters and side characters.
Mm.
There's, you know, I know I don't like it, but the high school setting kind of makes this movie work better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this modern adaptation of people living in the suburbs and just trying to survive day to day. And then there's this weird, the men in the relationship are awful.
Yeah.
Versus this concept of an overprotective father protecting two daughters. We never see a mother in the situation, so I'm, because she died.
It's kind of
ambiguous.
Yeah, because what they say is that she's not gonna, because they have the conversation about the pearls and their mother's pearls, and she says, well, she's not gonna come back for them.
Yeah, so Dave definitely feels like he's a single dad raising two daughters. He also is a doctor and works predominantly in, one of his quotes from the movie is, up to my elbows in placenta.
Yeah, yeah. So he does deliver babies. He's, I guess, obs-gyne.
Yeah.
An obstetrician? Yeah. Are they the ones who deliver? I don't know. And I don't know enough about baby delivery.
Yeah. And is terrified that his daughters are going to get teen pregnant.
Yeah.
Because that's predominantly who he's working with in his birthing suite.
Yeah, I assume that's not really predominantly who he's working with, but he does see them.
Yeah.
He mentioned
something about, like, a 15-year-old crack.
Yeah, crack that does sound, though, like he's,
like, hamming it up for his kids to try and scare them straight.
And he's got, I love, the, like, a very iconic thing in 10 Things I Hate About You is the belly.
Yeah.
Where, like, before his daughter goes out on a date, he makes her wear, like, a pregnant belly.
Yeah.
and it's got, like, one thing in the it's called, like, the empathy belly or something. Yeah. I assume it's to, like,
for men. Yeah.
Yeah, I assume it's for, like, you know, fathers to be, to wear and be like, oh, okay, this is what it feels like.
Yeah. You're carrying a tiny person inside you.
But I love that he just, before his daughters go out on a date, he's like, you gotta wear the belly.
Do you
want to
be this?
And every time someone tries to kiss you, think about this.
Yeah. It's a very interesting, like, cast. Heath Ledger obviously being one of the main characters in this, and it's great to see Heath being able to actually use his real voice and not having to put on American tone.
Yeah.
He was a very young and handsome, talented actor, and it's a shame that he was taken by drug abuse and drug addiction. And it's just, it plays together really well. None of the actors come off as annoying or unbelievable. I just think it's a much more better rounded movie, which is a shame because I think they had potential in Deliver Us from Eva, and I just think they ruined it by toxic masculinity and toxic relationships where it's like, oh no, it's not us that's the problem, the men.
Yeah.
It's clearly the sister who's alone and protective because she was the parental figure when these, you know, very young.
Yeah, because she was 18 as the oldest of them, and she gave up her dream career to take up two jobs to be able to afford to look after her three younger sisters.
Yeah.
And then the sister's partners are annoyed that they're influenced by their sister who raised them.
Yeah.
Can I say something controversial?
It's a platform for you to do that.
I think...
typing up my apology.
People can, you know, complain to me or, you know, write in the comments or whatever. But I think not the only factor, but a key factor in why 10 Things I Hate About You is more well-rounded in the sense that you're describing than Delivers from Eva is that 10 Things I Hate About You was written by women. And Delivers from Eva was written by men.
Right.
Not to say men are bad writers. Not to say men can't write rom-coms, because they absolutely can. But it explains why when the movie is predominantly about this core group of four sisters, the people writing it don't have the experience to be like, this is what a group of four sisters are actually like. And instead are like, this is why four sisters are annoying to men.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 Things I Hate About You is... largely, even though, you know, we're kind of introduced to a lot of the concepts through Cameron, who is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
Yeah.
It is predominantly from the viewpoint of the women and
yeah.
their relationship with each other and their relationship with the people around them.
Because I think they're the only ones you actually see a home life of.
Yeah.
Heath's character, Levitt's character... their friend who's forgettable and I can't remember the actor's name. It's very, very long, if I remember correctly.
Is this Michael? I can't think of
Yeah, David. Name. David Kromhoitz? I'm going to go with that.
Right.
Yeah. You never see any of their background of, like, where they're raised from. And I know that's not, like, the... like, everything about the high school... teen drama genre annoys the hell out of me because mm-hmm. we've all been, well, I'm assuming you're of an age where you're listening to this podcast, that you've been in that sort of situation and realize how folly all of these like stereotypes of like people sitting on the quad in giant mass groups all just like mulling around while the main characters walk through and have like a you know, a very confidential conversation
yeah.
and no one interacts with anybody except like the weird little groups they're sitting in.
Yeah, I feel that's not what my experience of school was like at all.
I don't think it's anybody's.
And, I mean, it happens so often in American movies that you have to wonder, at least in that time period, is it what American schools were like? Because you've got Clueless, Mean Girls, 10 Things I Hate About You.
What
like,
You Did Last Summer, Scream.
Yeah, they're all in that same, they all have that same kind of like, everyone has their cliques at this school.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, here's the thing. Here's the difference between, certainly where I went to school, and I think where you went to school, versus American schools. I had 30 people in my class
yeah.
and 120 people in my whole year, and that was considered large.
Yeah.
Americans have 500-plus people in their year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a ridiculous amount of people. So you can kind of understand how they end up being broken into, like, groups and not actually intermingling with everyone on the year.
The thing that annoys me is that the cliques that they have in these movies are all, like, one thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, here's the Stoners. They all have dreadlocks. They all wear, like, Rastafarian clothing style. Yeah. Here's the preachy rich kids. Here's, like, the goths, the nerds. Like, it's very...
yeah.
Down to, like, you know, let's make, like, caricatures of, like, actual humans.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I mean, that's what they do in Mean Girls as well. And the kind of, one of the central conflicts in it is that she actually, while she is pretty and popular, she also is a nerd and can join, like, the mathletes or whatever it is. And, you know, and her friends outside of the Mean Girl clique are, you know, two people who don't really fit. And just one of these things, like they might fit multiple or they might fit none, which is really how most people are.
It's also interesting that two of the main characters in it are like not exchange students, but they're like new to the school. Heath Ledger's character's he moves around a lot and he goes to different schools, and then Gordon Levitt's dad is in the military, so he's an army brat, and they keep moving to schools, and that's why...
I think Heath Ledger's one was that he has been in that school for a while, but he was gone for a year.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's been gone for a year, so people have all these rumors
weird
about
rumors
him.
Rumors about him, like, should you be drinking alcohol when you don't have a liver?
And yeah, yeah. Like, so he's, like, antisocial, doesn't really hang out with or, like, share his personal life with anyone, and he's been disappeared for a year, and he seems, like, you know, this cool... unachievable guy.
I don't know if he's cool.
I think to the guys in the movie.
Yeah. He smokes in class. He pulls out a switchblade and stabs a frog in the frog dissection thing, which is seemed to be in every high school movie.
Yeah.
Like, I did two types of science thing. I don't remember taking anything apart.
We did a cow's heart.
Oh, I remember, like, looking at organs. But it's not like each person is, you know, issued a frog. Now take it apart.
We had to bring in our own cow's heart and cut it up.
Okay. What was that like going to your mum? Hey, I need a cow's heart.
She just went to the butcher and got it. It was very normal. Like, every class did it.
That's bizarre. Where did they get the frogs from?
Yeah, the frogs, I don't know. But that seems to be, again, a thing that's in a lot of American movies.
It's even it's in Starship Troopers as well, except they're not taking a frog apart.
It's in The Simpsons, right? Yeah. I would love for any of our American listeners to please reach out to us and let us know,
did you take frogs
apart? Did you dissect live frogs in the school? Like, is this a thing? Was your school weird and clicky like it is in the movies? Yeah. Like, we would love to know.
Did you have archery at the same time as marching?
Do you have someone playing golf onto your pitch that people were playing soccer on?
Don't get me wrong. If that's an actual... Because I know from looking at the notes, it was filmed in multiple locations in multiple states.
Mm-hmm. It's a real school that they filmed
That's insane. gorgeous grounds. None of the people there were
actual students in the school. Yeah,
I know. I'm saying, gorgeous grounds, gorgeous building, the aesthetics of that alone is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, they didn't once film on a set.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire film was shot on location. But yeah, that was a real school. It was built as a railway station, if I remember correctly.
It does scream railway station.
And then there was a fire, so it never actually became a railway station, and then they turned it into a school instead.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Downgrading from public transport to public education.
I think the marching band... are actual students, but not from that school, because that school didn't actually have a marching band.
Yeah.
So they got a marching band from a different school. I think there's some of them might be from that school, but they had to teach them how to march because they just were the band. They didn't have a marching band. Yeah. Anyway, it's a real school. But I don't know if the students at it did what the students in the movie do.
Yeah, the Deliverers from Eva had very, I was going to say hygienic, but that's not really the... She is a health inspector, so kind of, I think that's where the word crept into my brain from.
Yeah.
Sterile, very sterile setting. Mm. It's either in a house or in a bar. There's very few scenes that are, outside of those places. You know, you get a few kitchen scenes where he's delivering meat, which apparently is his job. And he only needs $5,000 to buy a house.
And also he, seems to only deliver meat to places on the same day she's inspecting them.
Yeah.
Which is a bit strange.
There's a lot less flavorsome in just, eating the scenery. You know, you get the big party, the houses, the skull... You know, they're out and about doing weird stuff. Like, he escapes from detention because she flashes the gym coach, and then they're automatically jumped to scene. No dialogue between the two of them because, you know, he immediately thanks her for getting him out of detention.
While they're paddling boats in the lake
on paddle boats. And then they go play paintball, but it's not paintball. It's water balloons.
Gun-free paintball.
Yeah. And then make out and hay, and then they're angry at each other again. It's very, will they, won't they, but we both know they will, kind of why are you teasing it out?
Yeah, I think in both movies, the guy is originally paid to go out with her, and then kind of sees how difficult she is, and he actually likes it. In both cases, he's kind of amused by how difficult she is with people. Because in Deliverers from Eva, while he's delivering meat, he sees her tear down a guy as a health inspector. And he's just like, heck yeah. And in 10 Things I Hate About You, it's that she reverses into Joey's car.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's like, yes, the chaos. in both cases, it's kind of like these guys, you know, if these couples had gotten together organically... you know, if they had met organically, they possibly would have ended up together anyway.
Yeah.
Especially Deliverance from Eva, she like instantly takes a liking to him.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting because I feel like they're giving, because like they're, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like doing research.
Yeah.
Versus the three partners slash one husband already know all the information. It's just like, oh, she likes all these things, so use that to like manipulate her.
Yeah.
I don't understand what their end goal was. Because...
In which one?
Deliver Us from Eva. Because, it was, like...
They wanted him to get her to fall in love with him and then tell her he was moving out of town and convince her to move with him.
Yeah.
But, A, they didn't know that she had been offered a job out of town and actually was going to go anyway. And, B... they didn't realize that when this guy actually started to fall for her, he was going to be like, oh, I'm going to settle down here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's going to stay because of him. And then it, like, totally turns their plan on its head.
Yeah, but so then they kidnap him, lock him up.
Fake his death.
And then fake his death because one of them is a police officer. One of them is
a police officer and they falsify a police report.
Yeah.
And it's like, excuse me, this is a huge crime.
Yeah, yeah.
You would be definitely fired from your job as a cop, and also all three of you should go to jail for this. But when he comes to, like, when he shows up at his own funeral, everyone's like, oh, it's great, he's alive. And it's like, wait, hang on, is no one going to question the death report? Like, the actual, like, death certificate you've got?
Yeah.
And the police report, and, you know, nope.
No, because that would be too much of a drama, and this is romantic comedy where nothing makes sense and lives don't matter. Yeah, the endings of these movies, I think, are another part that are very separate. Mm. Eva sort of, like, moves off. She takes the job that she's offered in Chicago.
Yeah.
And where I guess they just, like, live out the rest of... Because it, clearly, I can't remember the characters' names. They're all
Ray?
No, yeah. I was going to say... The antisocial sister, Kat.
Oh, Kat, yeah. Yeah.
She's got college plans.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to college. Like, she's been, her dad's paying for it, she's got in, it's on the other side of the coast.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean? Like, you know, this is the bit that I don't like about romantic comedies, and I don't like about, like, high school genre movie, like, set in high school movies, is, like, you're going to college.
Yeah.
Most people don't go to the same college as each other. Like, most people are like, oh, I'm a shy freshman. I don't have any friends here. Let's, like, you know, I'm going to be friends with my dormie and, like, hang out with them until I find people. And it's like, none of these relationships ever last. It's like, you know, the Orange County's another one, the movie I made you watch, where he's, like, going to move away and his girlfriend's like, oh, so you're leaving everybody. Yeah. And then he ends up deciding that he's going to stay and everyone's happy about it. And, like, that's unrealistic because it's also a comedy where Jack Black's a drug addict and, like, stealing cars and stuff. And,
yeah.
But, like, it's fantastic with, who plays the mum? Catherine O'Hare?
Catherine O'Hara.
O'Hara, thank you. Yeah, it's, again, a very, like, we're all off to college next year kind of, you know.
Well, she's planning to go to a college in New York.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a place that I don't... It doesn't seem like he has college plans.
No.
He could, if he wanted to move to New York, it is a place with a lot of people and a lot of, you know, opportunities.
Yeah. It's also...
It's not like she's moving to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But it's also very weird to be like, hi, my high school boyfriend, let's all also move to the other side of the country to be together.
Yeah.
You have no plans and outside of... our relationship, we have nothing, like, there's nothing going on. That's
people do that, though.
Yeah, I know.
Or do long distance for a while, and then if it keeps working, then move in together somewhere.
Yeah, I've never heard of a story where that actually worked very well.
Okay.
From real life experiences, anyway, especially within my generation.
There's 17-year-olds who got together because, or, well, 18-year-olds, I guess, who got together because someone paid him to date her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the relationship's going to go well anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's, like, a lasting, long-term thing. Yeah, at least they do seem well suited to each other.
Yeah, at least with Deliverance from Eva, she moves, he moves, and is like, hey, look, you know, I want to be with you, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
And then she changes her mind, which is, you know, fair.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the three brothers getting away with it, what everything they wanted at the end of the movie doesn't feel great.
Because they're set up as villains, and then they're like, and then they all stayed with the women, and they're getting exactly what they wanted, and these ones are getting married, and blah, blah. And it's like, what do you, like, they know. At this point, the three sisters know.
Everything.
Yeah, they know that their brothers, their partners, paid the guy to date their sister, so that they wouldn't be spending as much time with her.
Yeah.
And they know that they manipulated them and their sister, and that they faked his death and filed a fake false police report and broke the law.
And it would have been over multiple days as well.
Yeah.
Because you can't just be like, oh, he's clearly dead. Like, okay, like, here's a police report, he's dead. We saw him, 3 hours ago. What are you talking about? Like, you know. We've been like, oh, he's missing. Oh, they found his body, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we're going to hold a funeral, in a couple of days.
Yeah.
When everything's organized. No, it's just like, oh, yep.
Well, they said he was in a car crash and then cremated immediately was the...
But he doesn't drive a car. And this is what I said.
Yeah, also, his truck, they didn't even, dispose of his truck. They just left his truck, parked outside the warehouse. They haven't chained open. It doesn't make any sense. It's like a weird, it's like they put in a weird thriller movie into the middle of this rom-com and then just like
forgot it. It's also the beginning as well because it opens on them
at his funeral. It opens on the funeral with him narrating this is how I died. And you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's getting a promotion as well.
Yeah.
So wouldn't the owner of the company also be involved? And I'm pretty sure LoJack was a thing that people put on work vehicles back in the day where you could, track them.
Right.
So wouldn't they track this apparent death inside his work? There's so much paperwork.
In
regards to, your employee using a work vehicle and then dying in a car crash.
Yeah,
there would be an investigation into the vehicle to make sure the vehicle was safe, or otherwise the owner of the company will be liable.
Yeah. And also that, the only people at the funeral are people she invited.
Yeah.
So, I get that they're like, oh, he doesn't have family. But, he does have a job.
Yeah.
You know? There are people who know him. Also, there's all those, other women that he was dating.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's going to show up to the funeral, right? It doesn't make any sense. And also then, that no one is really, shocked when he shows up to the funeral. They're just kind of relieved. But, if you thought someone was dead and you were giving a eulogy at their funeral and then they walked in, you wouldn't just be like, oh, it's okay, he's alive.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, how did this happen? Explain everything of, what's happened to you,
And you would also be like, hey, you guys told me he was dead and you show me a police report. Yeah,
It's like, no, they kidnapped me and kept me chained in a friggin' warehouse. To, manipulate you. The atom bomb he could have dropped when bursting in is just like, oh, no, the only person who matters in this room is, her. And
yeah, he also could have rocked up with cops to arrest the brothers.
Exactly.
For,
kidnapping, which is a crime.
Yeah.
And when you're a police officer, kind of, they don't really,
kidnapping, fraud.
Yeah. Faking someone's death. Theft of property.
I just don't understand. They don't get... There's no repercussions.
Yeah.
There's no legal repercussions. They don't face any charges. No one even reports anything to the police, even though the police were obviously involved in the first place because there was a police report. And then, then the sisters are like, yay, we're all happy with our men. It's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
These guys are literal, psychopaths. if this is what they're going to do to your sister, and this is what they're going to do to their friend, what are they going to do to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of these relationships. By contrast, a much healthier relationship than 10 Things I Hate About You.
I did really like the sequence where he, like, pays off the marching band to do something because she's, like, drunk, so she, like, dances on a table, which has embarrassed her.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh, well, I'm going to make something, you know, I'm going to stop everyone talking about that by doing something even more embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that's very cute and romantic, and Heath's dancing is very good, and, like, the marching band playing, you know, like, it's a very fun sequence.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
Yeah. But, like, again...
And then he does face consequences because campus police come in.
Yeah.
Or campus security come and take him away for misusing the PA system.
Yeah.
Which is a much lesser crime.
Yeah, than faking someone's death and falsifying police reports. Kidnapping. Forgot about the kidnapping part.
Yeah, and in terms of... I mean, the motive is still kind of similar to that. Well, I mean, the thing is that in Deliverance from Eva, the guys are already in the relationships with... the sisters. Mm. They just, like, don't like how involved Eva is in her sister's lives.
Yeah.
And she is a little bit controlling. But then, you know, and at the beginning you're like, okay, she's a little bit controlling. But then you get to, like, there's more development of her and you're like, oh, okay, you know, her job is this, you know, this job where she has to be very controlling and very strict.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. And then also that, like... Their parents died when she was 18 and she raised these sisters and she wants them to live good lives. And it's the things that she's doing is like encouraging her sister to study for university or whatever. And, you know, and supporting her other sister to like follow her dreams. Like her, she's actually just like actively supporting them to achieve their goals. Even though she's not achieving her goal.
Yeah.
And the men are just like, why does she have to be involved in our lives? It's like, it's actually a good thing if your partner, like, has a good relationship with their family. That's not a red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite positive, actually. So it's weird that they're so against it. Whereas then in 10 Things I Hate About You, it's Cameron, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character is the one who's like, he wants to date her younger sister, but her younger sister can't date until Kat's dating.
Yeah.
But Bianca also is manipulating and using Cameron in that instance, because she doesn't have any intention of dating Cameron at that point.
Yeah.
She wants to date Joey, the rich idiot.
Yeah.
But she knows that Cameron has more brains and also is more desperate and will go and like actually do some shit. And then it's a whole kind of chain reaction where Cameron and Michael get Joey to pay for Patrick to date Kat. Because they don't have the money. And they reckon, you know, he also wants to date her, so let's do it this way. And, you know, they kind of bank on the fact that she'll realize that he's an idiot. Joey's an idiot, which she does eventually. It takes her a bit longer. But she does realize there are moments where, like, because Bianca is kind of set up to be a little bit stupid. And then when it's like, when he's being more stupid, you can kind of see, like, go like, oh, like when he shows her the pictures that are almost identical, I was like, which one do you think is better?
Yeah, his entire character is just a vapid rich guy mess.
Yeah.
And
absolute narcissist.
Yeah.
And also, he only wants to date her because he has a bet going with his friends that he can take her virginity.
Yeah.
Like he took her sister's virginity.
Yeah.
Which is a big twist that's kind of dropped later on in the movie.
Yeah.
At which point, Bianca goes out and punches them multiple times, which is great.
Yeah.
Also, Gabrielle Union is her shitty friend in that, and then she's Eva in the other one.
I forgot to mention that at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's very funny that I was... Because we watched, obviously, the worst, lower-rated movie first.
Yes, we watched Deliver Us from Eva first, and then Nick hadn't seen 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, all I knew was like, a high school movie, and it had Heath Ledger in it, and the title just...
Didn't appeal to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, so you were surprised to see Gabrielle Union when she appeared in it as Bianca's best friend. Who is a shitty friend, by the way.
Yeah.
Because she just kind of ditches her as soon as...
And she's also sort of, like, into Joey as well and is sort of, like, trying to get her friend out of the way so she can date him.
And then, like, even though she knows that he was, like, she was, like, second choice, she's still like, oh, he came and picked me up and brought me to prom. Did you think you were the only sophomore here? And it's like, okay, he literally went to pick up Bianca, and when she wasn't there, he was like, I'm going to pick up her shitty friend instead. And also, she knows that he had a bet that he was going to take Bianca's virginity.
Yeah.
So, like, if you know that about someone, why would you be like, yeah, I'll date you?
Yeah.
Blah.
Blah, indeed. Blah.
But anyway, I think Cameron, though it is like a infatuation thing, because Cameron doesn't know Bianca when he starts this whole thing.
Yeah, because he's new to Skull.
He just, like, sees her and is like, oh my god, you know, she's so innocent and beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, whatever. But he does get to, like, he actually makes the effort to get to know her, which Joey doesn't do.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gets to know him and then starts to like him. But it's, yeah, a little bit more, it feels more, like, genuine than, and less manipulative overall. I mean, there is obviously manipulation in both. But in 10 Things I Hate About You, it feels slightly more genuine, intent-wise, anyway.
Yeah.
Than in Delivers from Eva.
The food was appalling.
The food was appalling?
It just stuck with me. They were like room temperature nachos with like Cheese Whiz, olives, and jalapenos on them.
The cafeteria food at the school?
Yeah. And they're just shoveling slop onto their plates and not like commenting on it at all. And they're just like, because obviously the scene's not about it. The scene's like they're having a conversation about the plans and stuff. It was just like, yeah, I was just staring at Heath Ledger's plate the entire time being like, what the hell is that pink oozing shit that's like on his plate? It looked like terrible white people Asian food.
Okay.
Like where you just slice onions, capsicums, and pineapple with like chicken and noodles. That's right. What it looked like. But then it had mashed potatoes. It was very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Just a weird mix of foods.
Yeah.
That were available.
Red dye number 40, cafeteria. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stuck with me. For some weird reason. They were separated as well. The olives were on one side and the jalapenos on the other. They're not under a heat lamp or anything. They're just like room temperature.
Yeah, just sitting out on a shelf. For the kids to pick up.
Yeah. Vile. You want to move into some trivia? Because I'm pretty much...
Sure.
Still held up on nachos.
I don't really have any trivia for Delivers from Eva. The only thing I took down was that at the end, when they ride off into sunset, because they do on a horseback.
On a white horse, yeah.
You get to see, like, the Chicago skyline, but it was filmed in Los Angeles, so it's just, like, superimposed over downtown LA. For 10 Things I Hate About You, first of all, it was Heath Ledger's first film in America.
Right.
The accent, because you were talking about it, so apparently people were concerned about Heath Ledger's accent and keeping the Australian accent, and the director was like, no, it makes him feel dangerous and sexy. let him be Australian. So I think they just wrote it in that they were like, yeah, he lived in Australia for 10 years before moving to the States.
Yeah.
We already mentioned the entire film shot in real locations. There's no sets used. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, iconically in the movie, says he's going to tutor Bianca in French and then has to learn French to do it.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is fluent in French
yeah.
and was at the time of filming as well. So he had to like pretend to be bad in French, which is great. The screenwriters for this are Karen McCullough and Kristen Smith. And this was their first screenplay. And they would go on to write Legally Blonde after this,
mm-hmm.
which is another great movie, and The House Bunny, which is, I think, the lesser of the three, but still a fun movie, which I think is one of Emma Stone's first films as well.
Right, yeah.
The scene at the end where Kat reads her 10 Things I Hate About You poem, they only did one take.
Oh, wow.
She was not supposed to cry. In it, she just got actually emotional reading it and teared up and cried while reading the poem. And they were like, yeah, I don't think we need to do another take on this. That was perfect. And yeah, I had mentioned, the school was located in Tacoma, Washington. and it was built as a chateau-style railroad. Oh, it was a railroad station hotel, is what it was built as.
There
was
right.
So railroad station hotel. And then it had a lot of fire damage in a fire, and it was renovated into a high school. And also, so Julia Stiles after this went on to be in a dance movie called Save the Last Dance, which she landed the lead role to after the table dancing scene and things like that. They were like, yeah, that's her. That's our lead. I think that's all the trivia I took down.
That movie did really well, actually.
Which one? 10 Things I Hate About You?
No.
Deliver Us from Eva.
No, Save the Last Dance.
Oh, Save the Last Dance.
It cost $13 million and made
$131. Hmm. Yeah, it's a decent one.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once, and it was a while ago. But I do like Julia Stiles. She's been in a few interesting things, I feel like. I think the cast in 10 Things I Hate About You is really good.
Yeah, but it was like a sort of bottled lightning, because you've got so much potential in there.
Hmm.
The thing that we haven't mentioned, the music in it is...
Very 90s?
Very 90s, where every scene is just like bombarding you with like some hit at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know, top five, but it was definitely top 40.
It's such a 90s movie trope, though, to have those like just like popular music just like blaring over different things. Deliver Us from Eva also does it a little bit. It's got like 2000s music in just like weird places in it. I feel like in Deliver Us from Eva it's mainly diegetic, like it's in universe, like they're listening to it. Except for the opening sequence, which is like stolen from My Best Friend's Wedding, where it's just like in like a sound stage, just like pure background color and people singing, which is a weird opening to that particular movie, I think. But
yeah, definitely tonally, it was weird.
Yeah.
In the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it didn't really match the rest of the movie. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say about these? Did you enjoy them as a non-rom-com person?
10 Things I Hate About You was a enjoyable movie that I would watch again at some point. The other movie, unfortunately, was disappointing, lackluster, had a lot of potential and just wasn't used because of weird choices.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, again, I do think the cast is actually decent.
Yeah, there was, even with, Ladies Love Cool James, there's nothing wrong with the acting. It's just, I think, the dialogue was squared and unnatural, and I just feel like there were... Because even, like, because you mentioned the fact that it was written by men.
Mm-hmm.
That entire sequence in the, it's not a barbershop, the salon.
Yeah.
Is so bizarre when the guy comes in and is like, oh, I gotta leave because otherwise all you do is rag on men the entire time.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it's like, who is this funny for?
I feel like it was written by particularly insecure men.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the guys who wrote it, so I don't want to make a call on them, but it did, it reeked of, like, weird toxic masculinity. Also, like, the brothers in it, and kind of the tone of the film, because it's, like, it's, the brothers are like this, but also it's seen as kind of acceptable.
Yeah.
They're very sexist. They're also racist. One of them is, like, a... like an impersonation of a Chinese person at one point or something. Like, it's a really weird racial stereotype thing. They're quite homophobic.
Yeah.
There is mention of queerness in both movies. In 10 Things I Hate About You, it's very subtly that when Cameron is talking to Bianca and trying to gauge, politely if Kat might actually be a lesbian and that's why she's not dating any men, Bianca's like, oh, you mean, is she a friend of Katie Lang?
Yeah.
Or is she a fan of Katie Lang? And you're like, okay. And then she's like, no, she's got a picture of, is it Jared Leto?
Yeah, which is also super weird.
So, but also they don't, like, it doesn't sound like they would have a problem if she was gay. Yeah. They just would be like, oh, shit, well, we got to change tactics here. Yeah. We can't get her to date this guy. Whereas in Deliverance from Eva, like, they're all kind of afraid of being seen as gay. And then also there is one gay character in it, but it's revealed in a, weirdly, in a post-credit scene.
Yeah, that was they have also a post-credit scene weird.
Specifically to reveal that the one gay character is only pretending to be gay so he can work in a hair salon.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Which is bizarre. And they try to, like, say that, like, straight men are persecuted and can't get a job because they're straight. So you have to pretend to be gay to get a job. So that's weird. And then they're also ableist. They use ableist language. But that, I think that slur for mentally disabled people appears in both movies.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit just a sign of that time. And yeah. I'm glad that we've kind of moved on from that. But yeah, I thought it was weird that, like, they're sexist, homophobic, racist, and ableist. and these are the guys we're supposed to kind of side with,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a strange.
Anyway, on that note, if you want to join our Discord, you'll be able to find it below in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see everywhere we're available, maybe you've overheard this somewhere and you're like, oh, where can I go to find more? ittakes2.co.nz is a website made by lovely Lisa. And you can find all the information you need right there, including joining our mailing list and our links to Blue Sky as well, our social media platforms, and to our YouTube, where we do shorts that aren't related to the podcast. And if you've enjoyed anything or you've not enjoyed it, let us know. And also share, like, and share, because it really does help when, you know, we can't pay. It's very expensive when you have an international audience to try and advertise places, and it is really reliant on you, the listener, to advertise for us, because otherwise, if you enjoyed it, or you didn't enjoy it, maybe you'd just be like, hey, listen to this garbage. At least we'll get the listens, you know?
And happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, Valentine, St. Valentine. He died on the heart for our sins.
Yeah, I don't think he died on his heart. His heart is available to see in a church in Dublin. So if you're in Dublin,
go look at his heart.
You can go look at St. Valentine's heart. Nothing they only makes, show it to you on St. Valentine's Day.
Nothing makes couples hornier than seeing a dead guy's heart in a church.
Absolutely. Go for it. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.